Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
There's No Waiting, episode number 599, interview with Randy Turner. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some of the Sunday morning breakfast blend. That's right, you can get coffee from Mayberry's Finest. If you don't like that, you can get the decaffeinated or the dark roast. Head over and check it out at weaversdepartmentstore.com. While you're there, you might want to look around at some of the new ornaments, wooden Christmas ornaments. We got some kerosene cucumbers for you. I wouldn't recommend eating them, but head over to Weaver's Department Store and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 599, my goodness, is Steve Krosk. Okay, so it's either Krosk or Kroska. I'm not sure, but Steve, thank you for supporting the show and being an executive producer. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And wow, here we are at episode number 599. Now, Randy Turner is our subject tonight. We're going to be hearing from him 599 episodes. Oh, my goodness. This is the 60th anniversary year of the Andy Griffith Show. We're about to hit 600 episodes of this podcast. It's been a good year in the Mayberry world, though it's been an unusual year in 2020. Hopefully, though, you have been able to have some fun here on the podcast and escape the things that are going on in the real world, at least for a little while every week with me and whoever the guest might be. And this week, I'm so happy to have Randy Turner. Last week, we had Danny Vinson. Wow. It has been a great run here on the show. Randy Turner is normally our This Week in Mayberry History guy, but I thought it would be very nice to be able to sit down with Randy and get to know him a little better, because he's been doing the This Week in Mayberry History for 3 years. He'll correct me in a minute if I'm getting that wrong. I got it wrong during the interview. You'll hear. But he's been doing this for a long time, and I just can't thank him enough for it. And I know you're going to enjoy this interview with Randy, so let's head over there and hear from him. You didn't get to hear from him last week with This Week in Mayberry History, and there is no This Week in Mayberry History this week either, because Randy's taking a few days off, as I had to go off and film the Mayberry Man movie. So I'm pre-recording these for you guys. So hopefully you're going to enjoy them. I'm glad I got to spend some time with him. I know you're going to be. So let's head over and hear from Randy. All right. Hey, Randy Turner is here with us tonight here on the podcast. Randy, is so good to have you out from your roaming reporter duties and here on the podcast with us. Every week we get to hear from you, and this week in Mayberry History. And it's just great to have you here. How did you get started as an Andy Griffith fan? How did that happen?
Well, I mean, I was too young to appreciate it when it first came on. I was, like a year old. I remember vaguely some of the color episodes. And my family was more of a Beverly Hillbillies family, so I can remember my mom and dad. My family's all from Eastern Kentucky, pretty far back in the hills. And they were very amused by that, So I saw it occasionally. I certainly liked it. But then I started catching it in reruns more. But then at some point, that kid, you're just out playing. When I was a kid, you're just out playing and come home when the lights, street lights come on. But in college is where I really got hooked back in. My roommate, a great guy named Dick Wagar, and we roomed together all 4 years at the great Morehead State University in Eastern Kentucky. And we would come, you know, I had a Sony television with no joke, you know, maybe that big, a little screen. And we would watch it on there. And I remember real distinctly, like, seeing Opie the Birdman, and for the first time in that dorm room, you know. And I just grew to love it more. It got to the point that while I'm not sure I knew a lot of the Mayberry events were actually occurring when they were occurring, I posted a picture recently that I attended, I think it was the Spirit of Mayberry Festival, and it turns out you were there, which is so wild to think about now, you know. Right. David Browning was, I bet. George Lindsay was the guest, and that was held maybe 5 miles from my house. And even then, my kids were just, you know, my daughter was about to turn 12, I think it was the next day. My other daughter was younger, and, you know, it's just hard to do things when you get kids of a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
And I just didn't do it. I wish I would. You know, now I look back and hear about the stuff at Opryland and all that. I said, oh, gosh, I'd give anything to have done that. I didn't even know it existed at the time, you know. And even if I did, I'm not sure how much I could have done. But it just got me. But I always watched the show.
Right.
And I just, you know, and I try not to be obnoxious about it. It comes up in conversations quite a bit. And it's so bad that when Andy Griffith passed away, I had several friends where I work ask me, they thought I would have on an R band. They said, oh, man, I thought about you. I knew you'd be devastated by that. And I said, I was. Yeah. So. Right. So I've just been a fan, you know, it's just grown from that. And certainly with the Mayberry community now, even more so. I've gone to Mayberry Days, you know, a number of times now, and just grew to love it. It's such a good quality show, you know. And what I always talk about is, like, in the Beverly Hillbillies, that's escapism, but that is pure escapism. Granny thinks a kangaroo is a giant jackrabbit. That's escapism, you know. The Andy Griffith Show, the quality is just so high. It's still escapism. It doesn't require an enormous suspension of disbelief, you know what I mean? Because, in fact, the components of the show, it was a utopian town that could never have really existed. I'll grant you that. But the elements of it are real.
Right.
It's just so well done, you know. And I've just loved it ever since. So.
And that was one of the things I've always thought, too. The Andy Griffith Show, the characters are – I grew up in a small town myself, and I have a very similar experience as how I got into the Andy Griffith Show. I was in college, too. But I knew a lot of people that were very similar to some of the characters on the Andy Griffith Show. I mean, they weren't exactly the same, but I knew church ladies. I knew Ernest T. I knew some Rafe Hollisters. You know, and I knew a guy that was kind of like a Barney type person that he wasn't a policeman, but at parades and stuff, he'd always put on a police hat and have a gun on his hip. And yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's more like Bert. That's exactly right. So I know I've seen you at these Mayberry events, and, you know, I am amazed that we were at the same event back in the early 90s.
It's so funny to think about that.
Mid 90s, I guess, and didn't know each other. And I just think that is an amazing thing. And I guess
we may have even met. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
May have.
In the photo, I'm posing with my daughter, with George. David Browning's right behind me, you know. And again, I was there to see George Lindsay, so I don't remember everything. I remember the act he did or a lot of it. But we may have easily met. It's just been so long ago. But it's so funny because you posted a picture looking at the stage. And my daughter and I were just right on the other side there, you know. So we were probably within 20 feet of one another. It's just wild to think about it. So
it really is, because, like I said, that was about 96 or 7, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, my daughter was born in 86, so that would be about right.
Yeah,
97.
So it was just that was a really neat thing. The thing that always amazed me is people – like you mentioned, that you really didn't know much about some of the Mayberry events that were going on as being a fan in the 90s or on through there. You know, that's still the case. And I know you're doing a lot online. Every week I tell everybody to reach out to you at turnersgrade@gmail.com to find out what you're doing. That's one of the hardest things I've had, is spreading the word about all these Andy Griffith Show things, because there's so many fans out there that I think would love what you're doing, love to be coming to these events and things. You know, I just don't know how to get the word out to them.
Well, you know, back when all this stuff started, too, because it started more around the 30th anniversary versus the 60th, I can remember when I first saw the internet and somebody sent a message to somebody in Germany. I'm like, They got it that quick. You know, I was amazed by it. Now there's so much more. The one I went to was in the local paper.
Right.
I thought, oh, that'd be a fun thing. I'll take my daughter and, you know, we'll have a good time. But you're right. Even with the internet, there's still, I'll see that all the time. And I look at the number of people that are in a group, a very popular group. And yet MeTV and TV Land, they're literally millions of viewers.
Right.
How are there only 25,000 people in that group? You know, they don't know about it.
Right.
And it's frustrating. I try to think what I'm doing is trying to spread that word, but it's just, you know.
Well, yeah, you definitely have been. You've created the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors Magazine. That's one of the things you've been doing recently. So, yeah, you are trying to get the word out about the Andy Griffith Show and just all the different things that go on in and around it. And man, I appreciate this kind of stuff. Also, of course, let's go ahead and talk about this. The This Week in Mayberry History. Randy has been doing this for almost 3 years here on our podcast. And what's that?
Three and a half.
See, I just asked him right before we started.
Yeah, I'm only about 3 or 4 months away from 4 years. So.
3.5 years.
I missed the first week of 2017.
Wow.
Started the second week.
So how did that come about? How did you decide wanted to do that?
In 2017, I don't really know why I decided to do this, but I just decided that I was going to post every day, literally the entire year, about the Andy Griffith Show, and not just random facts, just like with my calendars, but something that actually happened on that day, or I could tie to that day. Sometimes, you know, humorously with it's National Pickle Day, or you know what, whatever, I actually announced it at Mayberry Days. I came forward and told people I were going to do it. And I remember I have a Facebook group called the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild. And we did that. A good friend of mine, Barry Sullivan, and I put that together. And we did it intentionally as kind of a play on the Andy Griffith Show Rear and Watchers Club as a real mouthful of words. And we did that. And I don't regret it, but I know. So many people have contacted me and said, I really like Gomer and Goober, but I really like all the characters. I'm like, no, it's about all the characters. It's just a funny name. Or they're like, I knew they made comic books, but no, it's just a joke, you know. And I know in that group at that time, I think we had about 80 people, mainly people from work. And at the end of 2017, we had like, I don't know, 2,300 people in the group. So I did that all of 2017. When I started doing it, I sent some to you, like the first few weeks or first few days, hoping to give me a little bit of a plug on the podcast. And I didn't want you to say, check this out when maybe it's junk, you know, so I want you to see what I'm actually going to do. Mm-hmm. And then I forget now the name of who it is, but somebody in both of our groups reached out to you and said, you want to ask Randy if he'd be willing to do something on the podcast. And that's how it started. I got to share one quick story about this too. My wife, all of my family are Andy Griffith fans, but maybe not to the point that I am. But I was upstairs, the first time I was trying to do one, and I was just timing how long it would take me to read like a page. And she walked in and saw me, and she just stopped and went, oh, you are not doing a podcast, are you? I said, no, I'm going to do a small segment on somebody else's podcast. And that's how I want to leave it for now. So it was really funny. But that's how I started. Somebody recommended it. And actually, when I published my first book or calendar or whatever I did, I sent a free one to that person. I'm just forgetting his name, saying thank you.
Wow.
Recommending that. So nice. That's how it started. And you asked me if I'd be willing to do it.
Yeah, because I remember when we were – I hate to – ask anybody to do this because it's a good bit of work. You do a good bit of work to look up all the information that you look up and gather that information.
I've got it all right here.
It's just all in your head. How long does it take you when you're doing that to gather some of this information that you provide?
It does depend on the subject because I do know a fair amount, but even then I don't want to put something out if I don't really know it. So I like to double check it. I'm going to guess, because I'm fairly fast at it, I don't ever do it just based on a Wikipedia article. because I'm sure you've always heard me talk about they were on Broadway and this is the date that opened and they were on old time radio. And so I looked at a lot of different stuff. I'm going to guess the least is at least an hour, but sometimes it's an hour. Part of it's me, because sometimes you go down a rabbit hole. You know, you just go, oh, hey, that's interesting. And next thing you know, you've been sitting there 2.5 hours and you didn't need to do that. I'm going to guess an hour to 2 hours to write it. Uh-huh. And it's only, you know, it's only a couple of pages long.
Yeah.
Then when I record it, I heard you mention this recently. I usually am sitting in my car because I think it's like a little sound booth. And occasionally, yes, you might hear a goose outside or, you know, a lawnmower. But I will do it between stuff. I actually had a really nice dinner with Kentucky Mike and his lovely wife, Carol, down in Lexington.
Mm-hmm, from the chat, right?
A year ago. And I told him, when you listen to that podcast, I recorded it right around the corner. It's about 5 minutes ago. So I do that a lot. I actually did a lot of public speaking in college. Mm-hmm. I think I hear people talk about this, and I don't think people are that familiar necessarily, but it's called forensics. And people usually think, oh, that's like debate. It's really not. It's also sometimes called individual events. But basically you have people will – they do it in high school too. My high school didn't do it. But it's a big thing in a lot of colleges. And you basically – I was a good prepared speaker. Mm-hmm. So in preparatory events, I would do persuasive speaking, informative speaking, after dinner, which is making a serious point through the use of humor. Persuasive speaking, you know, they also have interpretive events, which is reading from prose or poetry, which my wife was really good at and I was not that good at. And then they have limited prep events, and that's where you have extemporaneous events. They'll give you a topic of world interest. You have 30 minutes to write a speech with sources. Wow. Or impromptu is where they hand you a topic and start to watch, and you've got 7 minutes, you got to speak five of them. So you've got up to 2 minutes to do that. And so I've done a lot of public speaking. I'm always amused at people who think I've been in radio. Mm. I've never done anything on radio, but I've done a lot of public speaking. So it comes easy to me. The first time I recorded any of these segments for your podcast, mm. I'm not always that technologically advanced. I didn't realize I could just edit it and scoot my audio and retape it. So I would tape the entire thing. And if I flip something up, dang it.
Oh, you start over. Oh my goodness.
And then of course I finally realized, oh, you can actually just edit this, you know, so made it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take me long to tape them. I mean, I don't always do it completely through. I'll usually stop and, you know, but I doubt it takes 10 minutes for me to actually tape one.
But you're spending about an hour putting it together, and it's only 4, 5, 6 minutes long usually. So I mean, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but you know, the way I view it is, number one, it's a labor of love. You know, I enjoy it. You know, and just because of my other projects, I might use someday. I keep everything, and you know, when I get inspired at certain times, like, oh, that would make a neat thing to do, and you know, mm-hmm. an article for the magazine, or you know, something like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always impressed with the things that you do dig up, because you bring up all kinds of interesting facts on these actors that I'd never seen, or some of the actors were kind of minor character actors, and you bring out a lot of story about them. So I know as fans that listen to this podcast, we tend to really pay attention to the characters that are in the background and the two-time actors. So it's really added a lot to me to be able to hear these things. So I really do appreciate it.
Well, I will tell you that Dixie Griffith, you know, she wrote a little blurb for my current calendar. And, you know, I know that she agreed with that all those people contribute to the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there are stars and that's who you think of and the writers, et cetera. But the background people, I think they deserve to be celebrated too.
Right.
Even though it may occasionally make it very hard for you to find a photo. but still, you know, and a lot of times they had, you know, career, just interesting things that, like, who would have thought, you know, this person did this and this, but they also, and there's something just way out of the, you know, and even if I have trouble finding things on certain people, like the one I was teasing you about finding the fellow Harry Arney, I did find it pretty fascinating that the first two times he appeared in anything, they were comic book properties, you know, comic strip properties. And I can find something to talk about easily all the time. Anybody that knows me will tell you that. So.
Well, obviously I can too. What is this? Almost 12 years I've been doing this. So obviously I can talk about a 60-year-old show all day.
It's insane to me that you've been doing this long. I mean, it's a great thing. It's a great thing for the Mayberry community, but my hat's off to you.
So. Well, it is. It's obviously same with you. I just enjoy it. And, you know, the people that come in on Monday nights, we have a group that gathers in our chat room, and they visit and talk to each other, and it's grown. There's 30 plus people in there almost every Monday now. And honestly, they're the thing that's kept me going. If I'd have just been sitting here at my computer and talking without them there to interact or to at least know that somebody cares, I would feel like I'm just talking to the computer.
I'm usually there Monday nights. I'm just not that good a typist. And I would not hear anything you were saying if I were trying to respond to things at the same time. I just can't do it.
Yeah, well, I don't read the chat room either. I think I tell everybody when the show starts, I got to cover you up because I can't read and talk at the same time. I can't do it. I can barely talk and talk at the same time.
Well, you know, doing that too, that's what eventually led me to do the calendars. And I'm not sure I'm going to do those forever. It's a lot of work. And I'm not in this to become a millionaire. Right, you know? Right. But part of the problem with those calendars, they're very expensive to produce, that ring binding. And, you know, I think a book, if you have everything set up, goes into a machine. I'm not sure a human hand touches it until it comes out on the other end.
Right.
These, you know, require that to be done. So I always try to publish a fairly limited number of those. And I'll do them for a while, but I won't do them. Right. I could do them forever, theoretically. But at some point, I'll stop doing them. But I've got about, you know, a dozen book ideas I would love to do, and it's just hard to find. I've been trying to get the second edition of Mayberry First revised.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Or Mayberry Days. It's just, you know, they don't take that long to print a book. The book production's not as long, but it's just finding the time to do it. It's just been killing me. But well, I'll get it.
I have been surprised, honestly. I mean, just look at all the things you have done. Let's say in the 3.5 years I have been involved with you, you did a whole year of reports every day on that website for the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild.
You got it.
It was every day. And then you put out your Mayberry First book, and you've done the calendar. You've done the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors program that you've started. And you have definitely come into this. I don't want you to burn out is what I'm saying.
Plus, no, I won't.
You've also been doing
the burn out. It's just times. It's just hard to find the time to do.
Sure.
I'm not retired. I'd like to do it, and I'd love to do it full time, but you know what I mean? I won't burn out. No, I'm having too much fun with it.
Well, I mean, you do the week, this week in Mayberry history. And so, yeah, I really appreciate it. And I've told people this before, anything that I'm not having to do, I love to be able to consume and enjoy.
I understand.
Because, you know, Jim Clark, he's been working at this for years and doing the bullet and all the different things he has done, his books related to
the Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a blessing to have people that will go out there and do things, the things that you've been doing, the things Jim's always done to just keep us all fed with our Mayberry, our need for more Mayberry stuff.
Well, I probably appreciate that. Yeah. And people ask me early on, are you just going to do a book about the show? And I'm like, it's been done. Jim Clark, it's been done. Mm-hmm. So the Mayberry First, I just thought it was a novel way to, if it was just a book of here's the first time something happened.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's boring. I mean, okay, it's kind of interesting, but yeah. Right. Why would you use each topic as a springboard to talk about the history of the show, you know? And I will have another book out before the end of the year. I'm not sure it'll be before Mayberry Days, but by Christmas, I'll have another one out. And I've already got another one partially done that'll get released next year.
Yeah, we're ready to get more copies of the Mayberry First at Weaver's. We can't sell them because they're not here.
I understand. And I will say, too, you know, I always tell people, you know, if they want them signed, you can certainly get them from my website.
Right.
But if you're going to support something else, I say, you know, go to Weaver's because, you know, they're doing a lot for the community and all that. But they did sell it on Amazon. Well, the way they do it on Amazon, you know, if you have them do process it for you, I've been paying like $40 a month in fees to Amazon, you know, for months. And the book's not there because I don't have any. I just don't have any. Right. And I know I've got to get it done. It's just, I just got behind. So I'll have it before Mayberry days. I'll have Mayberry first.
I'm not complaining. Again, I don't want you burning out. I want you to take the rest you need and you just get it out. We've been watching reruns for 60 years, you know, well, 52 years reruns. Yeah. So I think we can reread your book or the things you're already doing.
And I will tell you, I mean, I appreciate everything you're saying, but I really appreciated the award at Mayberry Days last year, which was very nice. But, you know, more than that, I get not just people in the chat room. I get people pretty frequently contacting me just saying, thanks. You know, I really appreciate it. I just want you to know we're aware it's work and appreciate you doing it. So I get that a lot from people, and that keeps you one too. So
it does.
Just like the chat room keeps you one with the podcast, you know. So
it does. And every once in a while you hear a story about how, you know, something that you've done is helps somebody through something.
Right.
And those kind of stories do keep you going.
Well, I've had people send me stuff too, and just, you know, just unsolicited, just out of the blue. Uh-huh. And Mayberry people are generous people.
They are.
You know, I'm not going to get burned out. I'm having a good time doing
good. It. Yeah, you good. You don't, because I need you to be out there roving and doing reports for a while.
You always like the way you say that, you know, your best reporter.
My best reporter. Yeah.
Your only roving reporter.
So. Yeah, well, you know, I did. There was a possibility. You know, Jeff Koontz did a pretty good report that he sent in.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, I'm just waiting on him to do another one, though. So he's a Cub reporter, I guess.
He's a great guy. There's a lot of great people involved with the Mayberry community. So
yeah. And so is there anything else that you'd like to tell everybody about? Anything you got coming up, or anything that's that you want to share or tell about?
Yes, I can share this. The next book that'll be out before the end of the year is I'm doing a book like in celebration of the 60th anniversary of the Andy Griffith Show. And I won't reveal everybody that's writing stuff for me. I'm going to write something, but I've got other people writing stuff. But you were very generous to write a segment for it. So you'll be in the book. So you already knew about the book, but I can tell that
I'd heard about it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess I could tell this too. But the thing I plan to release next year, I really had planned to do it this year. But with the COVID-19 situation, I just didn't, for obvious reasons I'm about to lead up to. But I'm going to do a travel guide for Mount Airy.
Yeah.
but not just, you know, it'll be something, if you're going to Mount Airy, it'll be useful. Mm-hmm. But if you don't ever plan to go to Mount Airy in your life, I think it'll still be interesting. So I'm going to put a lot of stuff about the actual show and how it ties into Mount Airy in there. And
oh, that'd be good.
So yeah, that's probably a third of the way done, you know, but I got all kinds of ideas for various books as far as that goes. So
that's great. We'll see. Hey,
the very first at some point. It's just a matter of, you know, you also don't want to saturate. If I could do one a year, that'd be great. Oh, yeah. I will tell you this. I won't explain why I'm holding back on this yet, but I was based on This Week in Mayberry History. I was going to do a book of the same title, but have it basically be I didn't have it weekly, but maybe I did. So 52 essays. But instead, like what I do on your podcast, I mean, footnotes much longer, you know. Wow. And I'm a little bit worried the book, you know, might become too much. I have to edit it down. But I plan to release that in 2022.
Man, this is like a Marvel movies of Mayberry.
Yeah. Other than maybe four or five essays, I've already got them written. And the really nice thing for me about that is, like, I wrote a chapter on Maggie Peterson and was able to send it to her. And she wrote me back, you know, a lovely note telling me how I made her think about things she hasn't thought of in so long, you know. And I was looking for corrections. Eleanor Donahue wrote me back this lovely, you know, I told her son, who I'm friends with, and he's called into the podcast occasionally. I'll have to use some of that as a blurb on the back of the book. She was just so sweet and kind, you know. So it's been a lot of fun. So
wow.
I I like the research of that kind of thing. Some people would find that just terribly boring and all that. But to me, it's like, no, I like it. If I only I could just bring it all back, I could win the trivia contest. You know, I know this stuff, yeah, but I can't just bring it out, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you get to – well, I have people comment on old episodes of the Two Chairs No Waiting podcast, and they'll comment about something I said on there, and I don't remember. I have to go back and try to listen to it to figure out what they're actually commenting on. So
I think I mentioned this to you before, but when you, I would occasionally, like when I knew I have four grandchildren now. Mm-hmm. So when I knew a grandchild was coming, I try to work ahead. So sometimes at some points I've got like almost 3 months ahead. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because then when I listen to the podcast, it's like all new for me. Like, I remember. Like that. And I did it and recorded it 3 months earlier, so I kind of forgot about it myself even that quickly. So,
wow, man, I really do appreciate all you do. You know, it's hard. I should have brought you on by playing in your theme music and everything. Now I had been heard. I think Jan may have told me that you said to her that as you start to record your portion every week, you actually in your mind are playing the intro to.
It's actually the opposite at the end of it.
Oh, at the end of
it. Whenever I tape it, I always listen to it before I send it to you. Uh-huh. And at the end, it'll end. And I can hear your voice going, all right.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Wow. That's some great information.
I can hear it every time. Whenever I listen to it, I hear your voice at the end of it saying that. You know,
so that's what, she had told me something like that. I couldn't remember. So I understand that. Somebody was asking me the other day what the number for the podcast is to call in and leave a voicemail. And I said, I can't tell you. I have to start with, all right, if you'd like to leave a call, give me a call at 888. I have to start. And go through it. So I understand. So
I understand that completely.
Randy, it is such a pleasure to have you here on the podcast. And I know folks are going to enjoy hearing this and just all that you do to help keep all the Mayberry stuff going. I really appreciate what you do here on the podcast, because even if people get bored with what I'm talking about, they'll stick around to hear you. So I like that. And it's just been a real pleasure getting to know you over the years. So thank you for being here with us.
Well, no, my pleasure. Thanks for the kind words, and long live Mayberry.
Amen. Thanks. Wow. Isn't that right? Long live Mayberry. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Randy, for spending time with us and letting us get to know you a little better and just hearing about how some of the things that you have to do, because working on the This Week in Mayberry History, the book, the calendar, all the different things that you work on throughout the year. And remember, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great things Randy's doing, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. That's turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss out on anything that he's doing on the internet. Again, thank you so much, Randy. Folks, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com or give me a call at 888-684-8415. Let me hear about these interviews. Enjoy with Randy this week, Danny last week. I love hearing from you because you hear from me almost every week. So I really like to hear your voice back. So I look forward to hearing from you. I hope you have a great Mayberry week. Stay safe. Heading out to Mayberry Days next week. If you're listening to this the week it's released, we'll see you at Mayberry Days in one way or another. So have a good Mayberry week, and we'll see you soon here on Two Chairs.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.